Civico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't.
All you gotta do is ask them.
All you gotta do is ask them, exactly. Thank you, bud. And we're here every night and Saturday night, and we have our video cast at philhendryshow.com, and we have our podcasts every day, so if you miss the show, you just plug in the old iPod or whatever you plug in, however you plug it in, and whatever you use to plug it into, and you can catch the show that way. That's a beautiful thing. You can also get our classic Phil podcasts, which are free by way of iTunes. Those are free. And you can also visit our shop and check into our news feed, and you have exclusive access to comment on the stories that we put up there. Now, we do not edit or censor our comment section. And so there are a lot of different kinds of comments you're going to see. Lots of different kinds of people. A lot of different kinds of weird asses that are commenting there. And so I don't, you know. It was so out of control at one point that we finally decided, okay, you know, you're going to have to at least give us a username. Because everybody was, like, making up names, and it was getting pretty radical. But we have this, like I said, if you're a subscriber, you can post any comment you want there. We do not censor at all, never have. We got close, but we haven't. That's just one of the many features at our website, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. It's well worth it. In fact, we think it's the only subscription in the entire radio game, with the exception of maybe Bubba's, Howard's, you know, a couple of friends of ours, that's worth it. 877-876-7445. Very happy to bring on the line here Harvey Wireman, retired attorney at law. Harvey has had a long and distinguished career. Actually went to law school by way of the United States Marines way back when. Harvey then worked with the ACLU, was a defense attorney, a criminal attorney, I should say, for some time. Has worked pro bono for a lot of different causes and joins us from his home in San Marino, California. Harvey, good evening. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
And tonight we're going to talk about Anthony Weiner. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's a disgrace. I think he has disgraced himself, and I think he's disgraced the office. And it's unheard of. It's uncalled for. And I don't think, and I wouldn't make the claim, Phil, that when I was a young man, we didn't have people that were this bereft of morality. I would never say that. But what I would say is I think they had a little more sense, you know, and maybe that's because you and I have, discussed that the press protected a lot.
The press covered a lot of stuff up back then, didn't they?
They did. They protected a lot of these people, but it's a different ball game now. And if you're going to be a congressman, you have to understand the rules of the road and act appropriately, and obviously, he didn't. Now, I know you wanted to talk to me tonight because I have some viewpoints on whether or not this man is should be run out of office.
Well, the questions, I think, are these. The questions are, is this man, Anthony Weiner, has he lost all ability to do his job, which is to represent the people of his congressional district, given the fact it's possible he still could be accused of a crime, correct?
Yes, he still could be accused of a crime.
All right, so that's one aspect of this. Number two, will he be accused of a crime? And if so, what crimes? And number three, does he quit or doesn't he? You know, and everybody's talking about he's ought to quit, he ought to quit, he ought to quit. I don't think I've heard anybody say that he shouldn't, except until I heard you, Harvey, and you don't think he should.
I don't think he should, because I think there's a couple of things that haven't been taken into consideration. Number one, you know, he's a man who is a congressman. He is not a man who is doing a job that, however important, is not a job that is not a job that's vital. I believe that a man like a man like Anthony Weiner should get what we call in golf a mulligan, if you want to call it.
A mulligan, huh?
Yeah.
That's when you get another shot.
I think he gets another shot, and I'll tell you why. Because He should have a one-time exemption from prosecution, and there's a good chance he could get prosecuted for the Twitter.
Yeah, that was the.
All right, he tweeted these pictures to an underage girl.
And that's serious.
Well, let's slow down, okay?
It's not serious that a 17-year-old underage girl might have gotten these pictures?
We don't know that a 17-year-old girl did. What we understand is that there was a 17-year-old girl that he had a conversation with. Now,
all right, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
If he was found out that it was a 17-year-old girl that got these pictures, does he get prosecuted?
No, I don't think so.
Why?
Because, as I said, it is a very high-profile learning experience. And he can become the face of this kind of problem. Anthony Weiner could be there to espouse what happens when you, take a picture of yourself in that state and you send it to a girl that's 15 years old. You can get yourself into some very, very serious problems very quickly. And so, no, I don't think he should resign. And that's not my only reason.
Okay.
The other reason I have for him not resigning is that and I speak as a Jew, we don't have a lot of Jews in Congress. And I'm not saying it's because of bigotry. I'm not saying it's because, we just don't have a lot of Jews. And if he resigns, now we lose a Jew. And
well, what does that mean? What is that? Is that the same as an African-American?
Well, it's yes, I think it is, because if you want to paint things in terms of ethnicity and special interests, Anthony Weiner is not just a Democrat; he's a Jew, and I'm a Jew, and I would take note. You know, I'm a lawyer, and everyone thinks every lawyer's a Jew. Well, that isn't the case. So we don't need to have more Harvey Weirmans. We probably could use a few more Phil Hendrys in the law profession, but not so in politics. So that is important to me. But mostly, I don't think he should resign because he's got a lot of work to do for Obama. And Obama needs all the swing and you-know-whats he can get. So.
All right, well, let's take a look at what you just said, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
All right, Harvey Weirman is our guest. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You just said that Weiner shouldn't resign because, number one, there's an opportunity for him to become the poster boy for this kind of problem, so that as long as he is in Congress, we are reminded of the responsibilities and the duties and the pitfalls of that kind of responsibility. Number two, he should not be prosecuted for a crime because he is one of the few Jews serving in Congress, and there'd be one less Jew.
That's correct, yes.
And the third one's the one I think I got the most problem with. Obama needs him.
Why do you say you got a problem with that?
Well,
regardless of whether you, I thought you liked Obama.
I like any president trying to do a good job, but here's the thing. You keep this guy in office because he is a help to Obama. Now you got people screaming politics.
That's not politics. What do you mean, screaming politics? He is. Is this man not one of the pivotal players for the Democrats in the House of Representatives?
Yes.
Then why would you want to get rid of him?
And if I'm a Republican, I'd want to get rid of him.
And you're telling me that I'm playing politics. See, you know.
No. You're missing my point. I'm saying that this should not have anything to do with politics. If he broke the law, it shouldn't have anything to do with politics. If he sent these images, whether or not it was against the law, it shouldn't have anything to do with politics. If he offended, you see what I'm saying?
I'm speaking to you as a practical individual, and I'm telling you right now, just speaking to you as a supporter, as just an objective observer. If you lose this guy Weiner, then what the Republicans will do to the Obama administration and agenda, they'll carve it and slice it and they'll cut it to pieces. They'll cut it to ribbons. You got to have guys like this. So,
and you're saying that as an objective person who's not necessarily an Obama fan?
That's exactly right. I'm looking at a practical solution to the problem. if you keep him in there, Obama's got a fighting chance, along with all the other Democrats. But if you take him out, you won't recognize the Obama. History will not be able to recognize the Obama administration. It'll be carved up so bad.
We're talking with Harvey Wireman. The number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Harvey, it's interesting talking with you.
Which means what? It means that I gotta. You think I'm an idiot, don't you?
No, not at all.
Because I was listening to some of the comments off air. I'm not on here as a Democrat, you understand?
No, but that's what I'm having a hard time with. You're not a Democrat or Republican, but you don't want to get rid of this guy, Weiner, because it'll hurt Obama if you do.
It hurts Obama. It's a cheap way of getting at Obama. If you're a Republican, let me just ask you a question. If you're a Republican and you want to get at Obama, but you know you got a guy named Anthony Weiner standing in the way, and suddenly out of heaven falls this gift from heaven, and it happens to be these pictures that this stupid ass sent. Okay. You are going to, you can't, you know full well that you got to, you do that. What I'm trying to say is,
What are you trying to say here?
I'm trying to say that Republicans know that there's a guy somewhere in their ranks that does the same thing. So you got to take it and run with it. And I'm just saying that the Democrats can't afford that, because the Republicans are going to try to get this guy to resign regardless.
The Republicans are going to try to get Weiner to resign, and they'll claim it's a moral thing.
Yes, but what they really want to do is they want to cut Obama to pieces. They don't give it. I don't think there's a Republican out there that cares whether a 15-year-old got it or a 3-year-old. I think what they want is to get Weiner and to throw him under the wheels of a passing train. Forget about a bus. Forget about throwing him under the wheels of a bus. That's for kids. That's kid stuff. That's chump change. That's punk stuff. I mean, they want to take Weiner and throw him under the wheels of a passing freight train. Right under that metal wheel. Have you ever seen the way...
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. 877-876-PHIL. Harvey Wireman with us, an attorney at law who's talking about Anthony Weiner. Should he resign? No. Anthony Weiner should stay in office, according to Mr. Wireman, because he would be a great poster boy for this kind of a problem, because the job he does is far too important, because it's a great learning experience. And he's Jewish. They don't have a lot of Jews in Congress, and I'm quoting Mr. Wireman, and Obama needs him. Now, none of that addresses the issue at hand, which is the very aberrant behavior of this man, borderline criminal behavior of this man, his own party wanting him out. So is there any reason to keep him in? And we're going to continue our discussion with Harvey Wireman, and you're welcome to join in, folks, at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Oh, before I forget, I want to tell you all about one of our great sponsors, and I always like talking about these great guys over there at Life Change Tea, because they help extend the healthy life of your loved ones or yourself by simply taking a beautiful glass of tea or two a day, Life Change Tea, that is, an all-natural, all-organic blend specially formulated to detoxify. That's what the ball game's all about, you know? It doesn't matter what age. All of this garbage we got, you know, it collects. And this and it's not the obvious thing you're thinking of either, bud. It cleanses not only your colon, but your blood, your liver, your kidneys. detoxifies and cleanses all of that. And this is particularly good and effective if you want to lose weight, believe it or not. If you want to lose weight, you'll benefit from this great-tasting, non-caffeinated tea. It's called Life Change Tea. There's a 45-day money-back guarantee on all Life Change Tea. No gimmicks, just results. A happier you. So here's what I want you to do. Go to their website, getthetea.com, G-E-T-T-H-E-T-E-A.com, or you can call this number, 928-308-0408, 928-308-0408. GetTheTea.com, one of our great sponsors, Life Change Tea, and please tell them that when you visit them, Phil Hendry sent you from the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, Harvey Wireman on the line with us from San Marino, California, as we continue our discussion here of Anthony Weiner. The most serious issue, in my opinion, Harvey, and we'll take your phone calls too, folks, at 877-876-PHIL. The most serious issue to my manner of thinking, even if it's not yet been stated or claimed or proven, but there's a possibility some of these pictures found their way to underage women.
Well, I don't see that as a problem. And
you don't see that as a problem?
No, I do not. I don't see it as a problem at all. I see that there are some people who will try to make it a problem. And I see that there are some people who will try and turn it into coin a phrase, a federal case, you know. But this is a United States congressman. And there is an office that this man holds. And
no, but hold on for a minute. I'm talking about...
I'm listening to what you're... I'm trying to answer your question, though.
No, I don't think you are. If Anthony Weiner sent pictures to underage... We already know he had a conversation with a 17-year-old. We already know that the guy stood in front of a press conference and was asked the question, did any of these pictures go to young women? And he couldn't answer. He said he didn't know.
He answered the question. He said that they didn't.
No, no, he did not. He said that he didn't. Maybe some did.
Well, my position is this, if you'll let me finish.
Go ahead.
My position is this, that Anthony Weiner may have sent these photos, graphic though they may be, to an underage woman. But I would ask you a question. If you have a daughter, and I want people to be objective, I'm an attorney, and I've worked as an attorney ever since I was a very young man in the Marine Corps. I will tell you that I've got a daughter and I have a son, and if she were 12 or 13 and she got a picture of this guy's package, I guess is how you say it, in the mail or however they deliver these things, there are worse things in this world.
Well, that sounds so partisan.
Oh, no, hold on for just a minute. Hold on.
That sounds so there are worse things in this world, even the Democrats themselves, Harvey.
Hold on for just a minute, if you don't mind. I understand that the Democratic Party wants him out, but they're not thinking with their head. They're thinking all they're doing is reading the poll, the Gallup polls and everything. People, if you sell you've got to explain these things to the American people. You say to the American people, look at the good work this man has done. Look at the years of service that he's put in. Look at the way he has served his constituents. Look at the way that he has fought and fought. And even if you didn't agree with him, even if you didn't agree with what he did, even if you don't agree with any of that, you have to admire the work that he put in. And are you going to take all of that and throw it out because your 12-year-old daughter opened up a Twitter account that maybe you didn't even want her to have, but she opened it up anyway and broke the rule that you gave her? She opens it up and there is this guy's, you know, from the waist down. Are you going to throw out...
Yes, I am.
Are you going to throw out... Let me finish. Are you going to throw out everything? You're going to throw out a man's life's work. Is that what you're going to do?
Yes. And this whole idea that the woman... Well, that the little girl, I should say, opened up a Twitter account even though I told her not to. What is that about?
If you're a father or a mother and you tell your daughter you do not go on this Twitter, I don't want you on it, I don't like the creeps that are on it, I don't know what's on it, and she does anyway, and Weiner sends her a tweet and there's a picture of it, whose fault is that? Is that his? It's not his. It's hers. These are things that people are not taking into consideration.
I don't understand that. I don't see that at all.
Well, if you don't see that, anybody listening understands I didn't force. My daughter opens up a Twitter account, and then Anthony Weiner wants to send her a picture of it. She shouldn't have opened up the Twitter account, is the point. Now,
all right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. So Anthony Weiner, even if this picture found its way into the Twitter account of an underage girl, according to Mr. Wireman, he should not be forced to resign. What do you think? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Shipping on any order. That's wisefoodstores.com or call 855-FOODWISE. Be wise and be ready with wisefoodstorage.com.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here on a Tuesday night. No, Thursday. We're live. And I've been here for the last 30 minutes, but we had a little bit of a conundrum. We had a kerfuffle, man. We had, you know, we had a contretemps. We had an imbroglio. It was all jacked up.
Yeah.
But we're here, and the good guys, my good engineers, Bud Dickman, we have Neil West with us, Charles, everybody, we're on the same page here. Welcome to the program. Our number is 877-876-7445. Should I ask you, did you have a good fourth? I certainly do hope that you had a good fourth. And one of the things that I did yesterday during the fourth, rather than say have a safe fourth, which I don't think you should have to say anymore, I think it should go without saying. Instead, I tried reverse psychology. I said, and be sure to take a Roman candle and, you know.
Yeah, you said I'll stick it up a guy, put it up. Yeah.
Shut up. I'm going to say it the way I want to say it. I said, make sure you take a Roman candle and stick it up your you-know-what is what I said.
No, yeah, but you.
I said your you-know-what. And I thought by reverse psychology, it might prompt some people to think, oh, imagine the dumbass that does that. Well, there's a lot of them that do it. One of them is in this room.
No, I did not do that.
Yeah, you did. You said you put something in your pants.
Yeah, it wasn't a Roman candle.
What'd you put in your pants that year?
Sparklers.
What an idiot, man.
Why is that an idiot?
That's going to burn your pants, man. Burn everything off, man. Just like that.
Well,
no, man. No will about it. It'll burn you up, man. Burn you up and run you off.
That's right, bud. You got to be the dumbest guy in the world to do something like that. You're lucky that you got, you know, all of your parts, if you know what I mean.
God, this one guy did it.
I don't care who did it. Putting fireworks in your pants. Some guys, you know, that's the problem with dumbasses, see? You can't ever, there's no way in this world that you're able to defend yourself against the dumbass, because first of all, what a dumbass does is he ruins it for everybody. What that guy did is he saw Jackass. Okay, am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, he probably did.
You can't blame Jackass. Everybody, they always say don't do it.
Then why did you do it, man? Why'd you do it?
Because I thought of it by myself.
Oh, it was your original idea to stick fireworks in your pants.
No, there was sparklers.
Are they not fireworks?
Yeah, they are.
They're fireworks, bud.
No, they're not. Technically, they're not.
Then what do you call them? What do you call them? Do they not burn? Do they not? Can they not hurt you?
Not that much.
Really? I tell you what, bud. I'm going to get a sparkler, and I'm going to light it about a half an inch from your eyeball. Let's see whether it hurts.
Yeah, well, that will.
Oh, will it? Don't argue with me.
Yeah, but
don't argue with me about this.
You're the guy that said.
Yeah, you know why I said that? Because I know most people will laugh and they'll say, ha, 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 Phil is being facetious. And we know what the point that Phil's trying to make. Look at all these dumbasses that stick fireworks up their rear ends or they stick it in their pants and they do stupid stuff. But you, bud, you're the kind of guy, and you know that you know what I mean. So you can't fool around with me, man. Don't give me this stuff about you don't know what's up. You did that stuff because you saw other guys do it. You didn't think it was going to hurt. Okay, and it did hurt, didn't it?
No.
Then why'd you go to emergency?
I went because Phil made me go.
Yeah, well, a third-degree burn on your ass? Yeah, you bet I did. So the whole thing of it is this, man. The dumbass is the guy that does stick the fireworks up his ass. And guess what? Next thing you know, nobody gets to use fireworks. So the dumbass is the one. He's the guy. And if we could just identify all of them coming down the street, see, you only know the dumbass by after the fact. You only know about this ass after he's burned himself up or half the block with his fireworks. You only know this ass after he didn't understand this or that or something else, and he wound up killing somebody. You know, that's the only time we actually recognize that person. But if we could actually somehow hang a sign around their necks, I think if these people get arrested for anything, I think there should be a permanent, you know.
Well, they used to do that back in the old days, man.
Yeah, what do you want to do? Put a Jewish star on him and everything like that on account of the concentration camps?
Oh, will you give me a break?
That's what you want to do.
No, I don't. No, I do not.
Talk about what, a concentration camp?
Not a constipation camp, a concentration camp. What an idiot. You know about that, you're telling me.
I don't know what you... I can't hear you, man.
Concentration camp, man.
He said constipation camp.
No, I didn't.
All right, both of you shut up before I start swinging. We're just now on the air, man. We're just, you know, brand spanking new evening, huh? Do you want me to start swinging already? You want the right hand to go to work, huh? Or what did the guy say? I ain't the right hand. I'm the hand itself, you know?
Yeah.
That's right. You remember that, bud? I ain't the right hand. I'm the hand itself, okay?
Yeah, you're...
What's that?
Nothing.
Right. All right, 877-877-6PHIL. So the point being this, yesterday I said, hey, why don't you... And another thing that's fun to do is to fire your gun in the air so that the bullet goes into outer space. You know that. The bullet goes to outer space. See, it doesn't actually... It doesn't... It's not, under the rules of gravity. The bullet does not conform to the physical laws that we know of. The bullet goes to outer space, so you'll never hurt anybody. It won't actually come back to Earth and go through someone's skull, will it? But a guy like Bud, he didn't know whether I'm kidding or not.
Well, yeah, I do. Now I do.
Yeah? So anyway, I hope you had a really safe 4th of July. Everybody in our neighborhood had a great time, and we all, and nobody is that dumb. The dumbest thing I ever did with fireworks one year, and I tell you guys this?
Yeah, you said I went under the car?
I did. I had a pinwheel, one of those pinwheels that you're supposed to nail to a tree, and I didn't nail it to the tree well enough or whatever, and the thing came off and started to spin and spun on the street and spun right underneath a car.
Oh, man. But get a gasoline and everything?
I'm telling you, I saw my life flashing before my eyes as this pinwheel was spinning around on the street underneath an automobile.
Did it blow up?
No, it didn't. Nothing happened. The pinwheel spun itself out. And I was praying. I mean, I don't know what I was doing. I was standing there watching it. I probably should have started running. If I really thought I was going to blow the car up, I probably should have started into a full wind sprint in the opposite direction, you know.
But everybody else do.
Everybody was doing what I was doing, standing and holding their breath, looking at this thing. So if the car actually was going to, and that's what comes from watching too much TV, you know. Cars don't just blow up, you know, like that. Like I was telling you that one time, Bud, just because a car goes off a cliff doesn't mean it automatically blows up.
That's what my understanding is, that if a car goes off a cliff, it's got to blow up.
Why?
What do you mean?
Why it's got to blow up?
Are you kidding me? It's a car going off a cliff.
It's got to go off a cliff.
By the way, the word goad is not a word, okay?
What?
The car didn't goad off a cliff.
Well, I mean...
It went. Wow. 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall on the line with us here. Hold on for a minute. Hey, David, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and I'm glad that you had a good fourth. I wanted to ask you a question, if you could ask Bud and Robert to leave the room for just a moment. Bud and Robert, would you leave the room for just a moment?
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Go on, get out. And you don't want them to listen?
No, just go into the kitchen where there's no... I want to ask you a question, okay, because I've been listening to the first few minutes here. Why do you have these two guys that don't speak English good?
Why do I have two guys that don't speak English good?
Yeah.
You realize what you just said.
What did I just say? I said to you, well, are you telling me I'm using improper English?
Pretty much, yeah. Why do I have two guys that don't speak English good?
Well, let me, you know, we'll get to me in a minute because I think you're dead wrong. You're dead wrong about that. Why do you have these two guys that carve up the English language like that?
Because they've been with me for a long time, because Robert's working security, because, Bud, you know, we picked him up out of the gutter.
Well, you got him out of some hospital ward, didn't you?
No, he came around looking for a job right after he got out of the hospital.
With a plate in his head?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm listening to them, and they're talking about gold and all this, and now, of course, you're pointing out to me. What are you, all of a sudden a grammar Nazi?
Well, what are you, man? You're calling up with the grammar Nazi stuff yourself.
All I said was, and then you started in on me. I said, why do you got these guys that don't speak? I said, why do you got two guys that don't speak English good? You say that's wrong.
Yes, that's wrong.
How would you say it?
Why do you have two guys that don't speak English properly?
Well,
you know, I mean, if you want to say it right.
Well, I don't want to sound gay. All right?
Gay? So that's what it is, huh?
Well, I mean, it sounds a bit effeminate. Why do you have two guys? You don't think it does?
No, I do not. If you're asking me why I don't have two guys on the air that don't speak English properly, then I think you need to speak the English language properly yourself.
I said it good, or however, I said it properly. I said to them, and I say to you, if you guys can't speak it gooder or however you, whatever gay way you want to put it. And
so in other words, you want them to speak English gooder, but you don't want them to speak it gay.
I'm saying we've got a male audience, and these guys are going to want to hear people that speak good or proper, but they don't want you to gay it up. I don't know how else to put it.
What do you call gaying it up, man? I want to know.
When you are all speaking English family, when you give it that, I don't know how to say it, Phil. You just give it away. You say it in a way that bothers me. And it always has bothered me. And
you know something? I think that you are, who was it the other night? Was Doug Danger? I think you're a hatbox.
Aha! So you think I'm deep in the closet.
Thank you very much. David G. Hall, and I'm sure he'll call back because I just offended him. 877-876-7445. Bobby Dooley joining us tonight to talk about sperm banks. And to talk about a particular sperm bank, a cryo laboratory that they support, and some of the challenges of being a part of an effort like that. We'll also have our news and information hour, and it is, as I say, this is our sort of the 4th of July holiday. We're in the midst of it here. It's a Thursday night. Our number 877-876-7445. We're online, by the way, at philhenryshow.com. Tomorrow, because of the holiday, tomorrow is the day that episode number 14 of the free Phil Henry podcast will be made available for download. So check our homepage out for that. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. Well, all right. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have Bobby Dooley coming up. The president of the Western States Homeowners Association will be with us in a moment. And I did want to bring on Roy Biskey. Roy is he's a caller of ours. He's a guy that has been on our show before. He lives in Massachusetts. I want to get him on the line here because, Roy, you pointed out a site yesterday, and I appreciate that. Yeah, this is the Civil War photographic sites that we were checking out there at the Library of Congress.
Yes, Phil, it's a wonderful site, and I'm glad that you've made yourself, you've availed yourself of that, because there are wonderful pictures of the different principals and the people of the Civil War, and I think on the 4th of July, what a wonderful place to go and look at the photographs and see the faces of the people.
Well, the Library of Congress, everybody knows the Library of Congress.
Yes, and I hope that people are aware that you can go to the Library of Congress and you can access these photographs and you can see them, and some of them are very, very well preserved.
Well, they have JPEG versions and they have different versions, different formats. I'm looking at one here. If you can see this, anybody at home, you can see, if you're looking at Phil TV in HD, that's a picture of Lewis Payne, right?
That is Lewis Payne. That was his AKA. His real name was Lewis Powell. Lewis Powell was the man who went into the Seward household and attacked Secretary of State Seward with a knife. And thank God that Secretary of State Seward was spared. But you can see Lewis Powell himself, a victim, I think, of the terrible, terrible strife that existed in our country during the Civil War.
Why do you say he was a victim?
Well, Lewis Powell was a very poor young man, came from a poor family in Mississippi. He traveled north, worked for a time in the north, eventually did, I believe he joined the Confederate Army. He might have been in the Union Army. But you can see that this is a young man with the look of great potential. And not to cause any controversy on your program, Phil, I heard you talking earlier about how you used the word scum.
Well, I was, you know, talking to Bud.
Well, yes, but it hurts a little bit to hear that.
Why does that hurt?
Well, I think you were kidding with the young man. He said, are you a Union sympathizer? And you said, well, of course I am. Well, why, when you look in the face of Lewis Powell, Phil, and you see the innocent eyes, now I noticed you took the camera off of him.
Well, for people listening to radio, and that's the overwhelming majority of people enjoying the show tonight are listening on radio, I don't want them to be left out. We're doing a video cast, folks, so...
I'm watching your video cast, and you took the picture of Mr. Powell off of your video cast.
Yes, I did, because I want people to see me now.
Well, I'm trying to make a point, and the point here...
all right, well, let me. There he is. He's back again.
Oh, all right, thank you. The point, now look at the face and the eyes of this man. This is a look of potential lost. And to be a Union sympathizer, I suppose, is your right, since they won the war...
Well, what are you? You're a man living in Massachusetts.
Well, I'm only temporarily here because my marriage brought me here. My wife is from Massachusetts, but I am originally a Floridian, and Florida was part of the Confederacy. Now, Phil, I love America. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, because this is beginning to sound a little bit like a North. What is your point?
My point is only this. This is the face of a man who has a kind of a perfection about him. Now, I know that he attacked someone with a knife. And when he straddled Seward with that knife, and he did get up onto the bed over William Seward and straddled this man, when I read about that, and I looked at this photograph of Lewis Powell, and forgive me when I say this, but I looked at the photograph of this man, and there is a beauty about his face, and I thought to myself what it must have been like to be straddled by him. Now, that's not a comment.
What does that mean?
Well, it's not a comment. I don't want you to take that out of context.
I'm kind of gay.
No, it is not gay.
Hold on, Robert. I've got it.
No, you're taking it out of context.
All right, I'm willing to tell me what you mean. Lewis Powell, and for those of you who are looking at our video cast, you see he's a very handsome man, there's no question.
Remarkably handsome, strikingly handsome. It looks a little bit, Phil, and I say this with great respect, the way you did as a young man, not anymore.
Well, thank you, and I take that, I guess, as a compliment.
Well, the years have been trouble to all of us, but Lewis Powell looks a lot the way you did as a young man, when you were a handsome young man, as I hope I was, and I think to myself, well, if I'd met Phil Henry back then, I wonder how our lives would be different.
What does that mean, exactly?
I'm trying to tell you what it means. You're taking that out of context. And
what am I taking out of context?
Well, I know you're thinking... You know,
said, man, you'd like to be with Mr. Henry.
You know, you're taking it out of context. And
well, what are, hold on, Robert, don't butt in, okay?
Sorry.
What are we taking out of context?
Well, now you're angry. and I made you angry. And
no, I'm not. No, I'm not angry.
Yes, you are. You're angry, and I made you angry. Phil, I didn't mean to come on your program and make you angry. And
what am I taking out of context?
My comment about if you and I had met at another time in another place.
Then what?
Well, I think you get my drift. See?
Don't you, gay?
Oh, no, no.
I know, I'm taking it out of context.
Yes.
No, I don't see. No, I don't.
Well, what are you taking out of context now? The straddle part?
Yes, I'm taking that out of context. What is it with you, man? You see a picture of this guy and all you can think about is him straddling you?
No, I thought about you straddling me. And
all right, well, thank you very much.
Why, you edited it. You said that's censorship.
Yeah, that is censorship.
What do you mean it's I don't need to hear any more of that. Hey, Phil, I've been fantasizing. How is it I got on from Lincoln's assassination to this guy wanting to be straddled by me? We'll be back with Bobby and Steve Dooley next, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Man.
Man, that guy's straddling you.
Took it out of context.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, our news and information hour coming up in an hour. And we have with us Bobby and Steve Dooley. And by the way, if you'd like to hear a podcast of tonight's show, maybe you missed the first hour, or maybe you can only hang with us for a few minutes, but you want to hear the show in its entirety, you can always get the full show the next day on our homepage, philhendryshow.com. It's a podcast. It'll be delivered right to your iPod, whatever you're listening to, your phone. And you just subscribe to the website, obviously, with a backstage pass, but then you get all of the day's shows delivered to you. All right? And then, as I mentioned, tomorrow is episode 14 of our free Phil Hendry podcast, which is also a lot of fun. All right. Bobby and Steve Dooley, actually, Bobby Dooley will be with us. She's the Western States Homeowners Association president, as well as the Parent Teacher Association president. We're going to get her on the line here in a moment, but I just wanted to give you the story here. Woman sues FDA for the right to select a sperm donor. A California woman pursuing artificial insemination is suing the federal government for the right to choose how she'll get the sperm. The unusual case was filed Monday in U.S. District Court on the heels of the Supreme Court decision upholding the federal health care overhaul. The plaintiff in this case is challenging another area of federal health regulation. At issue are Food and Drug Administration rules that set standards for sperm banks, like requiring tests for communicable diseases. But the woman in the California suit doesn't want to go through a standard sperm bank or other clinic. The anonymous plaintiff instead, according to the suit, wants to use the sperm of someone she knows at no cost without going through all the federal regulatory rigmarole. She and her lawyers call the FDA rules an unconstitutional violation of her rights. That is, her right to start a family with whomever she wants. Now, obviously, this has a lot to do with insurance and what you would be able to get with national health care, because I don't know that there's any federal law against choosing who a sperm donor is. For instance, a sex partner is a sperm donor, and if that sex partner is a sex partner for the purposes of fathering or mothering a child, but in this case fathering a child, then obviously you are choosing the sperm donor. It's a little confusing. Let's get Bobby Dooley on the line with us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And Bobby, I know that you and Steve have an investment in a so-called sperm bank. Do you know this lady's story?
I do, Phil. It's a very interesting story, and I think there is an awful lot there for American women to chew on and to look at. We do have every right in the world to choose who the sperm donor is, and we have every right in the world to choose who the father, in this case of our child, is going to be without the sperm banks and the federal government telling us who and what that person is.
What, the sperm bank that you are a business, it's like a business venture?
Well, no, it's a lot more than that, Phil. Steve and I have supported Far West Cryolabs is the name of it, and we've been very big supporters of Dr. Sherman, Dale Sherman, for a long time. We think the work that he does is outstanding, and we have, in any way that we can, we have helped in terms of investment, purchasing equipment, paying staff, and doing what we can to promote his work.
What is it about the work that he does at this sperm bank or cryo lab that you particularly like?
Well, I think what we like more than anything else is that he screens donors very rigorously for disease. He screens them rigorously for any kind of a discernible ailment. And he obviously is picking men who are youthful, that is, men who are a certain age, and I think the age range is between 18 and 30. He is obviously picking men for not necessarily their physical attractiveness. We're not talking about aesthetics so much as if you look at a man and you see that there is an overall structural symmetry, that he is obviously in good health, and that there is some muscle mass, if you will, and this kind of thing, and good bone structure. But we're not looking for good looks, and certainly not racial qualities or anything like that.
All right. Now, you had a similar situation arise where one of the individuals that had come to this particular bank, and it's not the same as the lady in California, it's different. This woman wanted to be able to, as well, choose the sperm donor, and you said no.
That is correct, Phil. We said to her, we can assure you that...
Because there's more to the story. I mean, the sperm that she ultimately selected, and she selected it based upon your criteria, not necessarily hers.
No, she selected it on her criteria, Phil. She wanted a healthy man. She wanted a man that was disease-free, obviously. And to the extent that we could ascertain from a very, very cursory look at mitochondrial DNA that there wasn't any genetic problem with regard to, for instance, Alzheimer's or genetic kidney or heart ailment. No, we absolutely...
Well, what the woman wound up using your lab to be inseminated, correct?
Yes, she did, Phil. Her complaint was that the baby that was born was partially African-American, and we asked her what that had to do with anything. Now, here is... and so we stand up for the rights of women, and this is a woman that obviously does not hold with our belief that people should not be categorized based upon race or gender.
But you understand that this woman was inseminated by this clinic that you and your husband support. The baby that she had was African American. She was told that the man was healthy.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, but she was not told about his race.
No, because that has absolutely nothing to do with health. What are you? You see, Phil, I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire on this, but if I did hold your feet to the fire, it would show you to, not you necessarily, but it would, you might run the risk of showing a racial bias.
No, ma'am, that's not the case at all. I don't have a racial bias, but what I am asking you...
Then what is the problem?
What I am asking you is this. Do you not think it is her right to pick the race as well as these other characteristics of the father of her child?
I think if she uses our clinic, she uses our clinic knowing that these men are healthy, that they are...
You know, I'm not talking about health.
Well, it seems to me that you are, you see, and this is the trap that people fall into, Phil, if I may.
Go ahead.
When we say that these men are healthy, and women will say to us, well, what is the race of the father? I don't see anything on for instance, the application that they fill out or any of the information that we provide for them. And they'll say, well, what is the race of the father? And that's when we refer them to our counselors, because obviously they've got a problem, and we have to get to the bottom of that. And
well, what is the problem? The fact that they have, are you saying they're racist?
Hold on, Phil. Let me just finish here, because, you know, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to explain this to you so that you don't fall into the obvious trap that a lot of these women fall into, and a lot of men that may accompany them. We've had brothers, we've had fathers. We've even had husbands who are unable to father children come to our clinic, and they'll ask the question, well, you said nothing about race, and that's when we do refer them to our counselors.
All right, well, we're talking here with Bobby and Steve Dooley, 877-877-877-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have to take a very quick break. We're going to be back because I haven't gotten to the bottom yet of why it is they did not tell this woman about the race of the sperm donor. They assured the woman the man was healthy. They assured the woman the man was disease-free genetically. The man was disease-free in terms of all of those things, and was a healthy and in fact a strong specimen, but did not tell her the race, and the child she wound up bearing was part African-American. 877-876-7445. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. And don't forget, philhendryshow.com for your podcast tomorrow morning. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com.
My understanding, Phil, is they have to be because that's how the sperm is stored at a certain temperature, and there is a certain, obviously, a biochemical mix, I think, that's involved in refrigerating or otherwise freezing these materials.
All right. The sperm bank that you are a supporter of, that you're an investor in, is one that did not inform a woman that had come to your bank as to the race of the donor. By the way, was this an African-American donor or just an African donor?
That's really something that we don't divulge, Phil. We don't think that it is has anything to do with, if you're a woman that comes in to have artificial insemination, if you're a woman that comes in to be artificially inseminated by our technicians, and you have used our facilities for this insemination, we assure you that the donor is healthy, that the donor is of a certain age, that there is good symmetry, good bone structure, and so forth. But we certainly do not feel compelled, nor really do we feel that you have the right to ask about the race, because...
Why is that?
Well, I was going to say, because we do feel that it goes beyond the limits of the criteria that we set for ourselves and the criteria that we set for our clients. We feel that it really does not have any bearing on the health of the baby, nor should it have any bearing on the happiness of the mother.
So you purposefully don't tell women the race of the donor. And I can understand that.
Well, yes. We don't purposefully. We just we don't volunteer it.
And if they ask, you tell them what?
If they ask, then that's when we send them to counseling.
Okay, that was the part that I want to ask you about. Why are they going to counseling?
Well, they're going to our counselors, Phil. We have a 24-hour counselor available either on by way of the telephone, online, or they can come in person. And we counsel them through that very tricky period where they are, consumed with these rather, we think that they're rather destructive thoughts, they're time-wasting thoughts, they're silly thoughts about, well, what's the race of the father of my child? What's the race of the father of my child? So on and so forth. So we sit down with them, and we try to get a profile. We get some background on their upbringing, schooling of their parents, the relative socioeconomic class that they come from. we get a lot more information than we ordinarily get.
All right, Ms. Dooley, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
There's a lot of stuff you're telling me here, but what I'm getting at is this. If a woman wants to know the race of the sperm donor that she is that she will be utilizing, and you, instead of telling her the race of that man, you refer her to counseling.
That is correct, yes.
All right. What you're saying there is there's something wrong with her.
Well, that is a very rough way of putting what we like to think of as a re-educational process. So we are very much feminists here.
I understand that. But you see, everything you're telling me is that what you're saying is if she says, what's the race of the sperm donor, then...
The race of the sperm donor is not germane. And so when a woman asks that question, and again, because we're very much feminists...
And then you're going to have to explain that one, too.
Well...
But please finish your thought and we can get into that.
Well, I was going to say, we are feminists, and that means we believe in... We are colorblind. We believe in a very egalitarian society. We believe in the equal rights of people. And we don't want to donate or otherwise have our services or have our facilities used by people that are racially prejudiced. So that's why we refer people to our counselors.
All right, so if a woman asks you what's the race of the sperm donor, she has a racial prejudice.
Well, I think it goes a little bit without saying. And if I could just finish my thought.
I was wondering, Steve Dooley.
Go ahead, Steve.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
If a woman says, well, my husband, or I need a man to be white, then that's bigotry.
If she's asking, well, why isn't he white, you know? And
well, no, I don't think that's even necessarily the case. If a woman says, what's the race of the father, it may just be so she can say, to know what to expect.
Yes, but to say she needs to know what to expect is to say that she needs to gird or otherwise put herself on guard for, or otherwise she needs to prepare. She needs to prepare herself for what the child will look like when the child is born. And I think that all speaks to a racism.
All right. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Bobby Dooley. Her husband, Steve, is also on the line as we're discussing the sperm bank, which is the Far West Cryogenic Lab, in which women are not informed of the race of the sperm donor. If they are asking about the race of the sperm donor, they are sent into what is called counseling, so you never really know the race of the sperm donor until the baby is born. But they do assure the women as to the health of the individual involved. 877-876-7445. And let's go over now to, let's see, we have Austin on the line. Austin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley.
Yeah, Phil, I'm calling in from Lancaster, California, and I've called your program before, and I've got a little bit of a case of laryngitis, so I hope you bear with me.
Go ahead. That's fine.
Ms. Dooley, I'm going to try and be as polite as I can. If I bring my wife in to be in your sperm bank,
the women don't come in to be in the sperm bank.
Well, I know, but to use the sperm bank, I guess, is not, she not be told about what color the man is.
Well, no, she is not. Was that your question?
No, I'm saying when she comes in, I think she'd be, you not tell the sperm donor the race.
No, we don't tell the woman the race.
Okay. What if the husband, if I was to ask you, are you prepared for what my answer is going to be if you don't tell me?
Well, I guess I'll have to give that to my husband.
Well, okay, you give that to your husband. And
Steve?
You're going to address your question to me.
Okay, that's fine. I'd be happy to address my question to you, sir. And it's not really a question. If you don't tell my wife the name, not the name, but the...
Well, we don't give the name out.
We don't give the name out, sir.
No, I didn't mean... I said the race. I said the race.
No, you didn't. You said name.
You did say name. I think the host can back me up.
He meant to say race.
I meant to say race, ma'am. And if you don't tell me the race of the sperm donor that you have picked out for my wife, then I'm going to say to you that I don't want my wife in there, and I want her out of there.
Well, at that particular point, sir, you're nowhere on the premises. These women are, you know, we counsel them, but you're not on the premises. The only time we allow husbands on the premises...
Yeah, for initial consultation.
Yeah, it's the initial consultation.
And what are you doing? Are you holding the woman hostage?
I beg your pardon.
Well, what are you... What why is the... Why did you say that?
Yeah, why can I not take my wife out of there?
Well, sir, you know, you're more than welcome to take your wife out of there, and you're more than welcome to abort the fetus. I mean, we provide those services. We have a women's health lab, a women's health clinic, I should say. But there is a certain time where you are, you know, it's against the law to perform an abortion.
And so your solution to this problem, your solution is to abort the fetus. Is that correct?
I don't want any abortion performed on my wife.
All right, hold on for a minute. Hold on. 877-876-7445 as we talk with Bobby and Steve Dooley about the sperm bank where the women are not informed of the race of the sperm donor until, I guess, after the baby is born. Although at this particular discussion we're having right now, you're perfectly... you have every right to abort the fetus. We'll get back into it. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's amazing stuff. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us as we talk about Far West Cryogenic Labs, Dr. Dale Sherman, and this is Dr. Sherman's application process, which you call feminism, where they do not tell the women the race of the donor.
That is correct, Phil.
Why do you call that feminism?
As I said, Phil, we call it feminism because we don't believe in racial prejudice. We don't believe in gender prejudice. We don't believe in the sexual orientation prejudice. In other words, Phil, we don't think that asking the race of the prospective father has anything whatsoever to do with the application process. It has nothing to do with whether the child will be healthy. Are you saying that it does?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that I don't know how it is you get customers. Let me ask you something, because you said that women can abort the fetus if they're feeling... If they don't know the race of the donor until the baby's born, why would they have an abortion?
Steve, I'll let my husband handle that one, Steve.
Yeah, Phil, if they big time get cold feet later on, they're going to think, well, if the kid comes out black or however you want to say it, getting nervous.
They start to think about it a little bit.
And is this true of black mothers, too? They may have a white baby?
That is true, yes. And although black women are far less likely to need counseling.
What does that mean?
I mean, they don't, if you say to them, we're not going to tell you the race, they don't get upset.
Yeah, they don't seem to say, a lot of black women don't ask, what's the race of the father?
So that means they don't have any racial prejudice.
That's correct, yes, sir.
Yes.
Well, it sounds to me, guys, like what you've got going on there is a clinic you claim is feminist or egalitarian, and in point of fact has its own peculiar kind of racism.
No, that's not true at all, Mr. Hendry.
No, well, that's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like a very peculiar kind of racism where you said...
Yeah, you sound like you're stumbling over it. You're going, you know, like that.
Excuse me?
It sounds like you're stumbling over it because you're having a hard time. You're going, you know?
No, I'm saying exactly what I want to say. You just said that black women don't necessarily have to get counseling because they're not as hung up, you know?
Well, what, does that make me a racist?
There's something going on with your clinic that I don't quite get. I don't know what it is, but I just don't get it. Here is Ted on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah, I got a quick comment, and then I'll just hang up and let you guys take over from there. First of all, the dualies sound like about the two biggest jackasses I've heard in a long time, but that's just my opinion. At any rate,
sticks and stones can break my phone.
All right.
Why would anybody possibly go to their clinic? They'd have to be out of their mind. And the comment about only black women don't really ask many questions about this or that, that's actually a racist comment. But the one thing I found...
That's what I thought.
Hang up.
No, it is not racist at all.
No, I thought it was racist.
Here's my last comment, and then I'll hang up. You sound like two people who are living on your own high mountain because you continuously state over and over that we don't think this and we don't think that. So basically, whatever you feel is what you dictate to others. That you want to be in the dominating position of we will make the decisions about life for you. Okay, got to hang up now. I'll just listen on the radio.
I didn't say anything like that. What I did say, though, Phil, was that if women do come to our clinic and they ask us what's the race of the donor...
Well, you say they need counseling.
That's correct, yes. The women can abort, as we said, anytime they want. They can certainly, if they are feeling queasy or upset with the process, they are entitled to making that decision.
All right, so in other words, this is a rather ghoulish and rather gothic a choice that you're giving these women.
You're paying everything and taking us money.
Yeah, Phil, you've said that we're racist, now we are ghoulish and gothic.
Well, hold on for a minute. You're going to have to let me finish this. You can have, here is our clinic, the men are healthy, don't ask about the race, or you're going to go into counseling, right? That's the first kind of a sort of a mind control.
No, it is not. You've called us racist, totalitarian.
No, there's something about that bothers me. And then, if you don't like the choice you made, you can abort the fetus, which sounds almost, as I said, almost horror gothic in its implications.
Mr. Henry, is not abortion still legal in America? I thought about it.
Yeah, we're not in communist, we're not in Iran yet. It's not, you know, Romney isn't president yet. So I think abortion is still legal.
Yes, it's legal. But to say to a woman, hey, here's a great option.
Is it President Romney or is it still President Obama? I want to know.
It's President Obama.
All right, so abortion is still legal.
Yes, it's still legal. But to say to people, oh, are you feeling uncomfortable? You're thinking maybe the race of your child is the wrong race. You can go to our women's clinic and get an abortion. That, to me, that's why I said gothic and ghoulish. And with these implications of horror, that's why I said what I said. 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show.
Well, Phil, the two things I wanted to point out.
Let me get a phone call up here, okay?
Well, and then I do want to make a point.
That's fine, but I want to get another phone call up here. Number 877-876-Phil. As we talk here to Bobby and Steve Dooley, let's go to Warren. Hi, Warren. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Philip, I want to talk to these people, you know, you want to hang up and listen, too. I was born, my mother could have given me up for adoption, she didn't do it. And the reason why she didn't do that to me, and my mother loved me very much.
Do you have, I can tell from this gentleman, do you have a Tourette syndrome? Or
no, I had nerve damage, I fell off, and I fell off a building.
I'm sorry, Phil, what did he say?
You fell off a building?
I fell off a structure, so I'm telling you, program before I count up one time.
Are you the gentleman, Warren, are you the gentleman that fell off the broadcast tower?
Yes, sir, I was used to clean off and up.
Well, Phil, I don't know whether this is a joke.
No, I know who this man is. He fell, had a very devastating fall from a broadcast tower. He used to do maintenance on broadcast towers and fell... And sustained.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry.
It's okay, but I'm still going to answer the question.
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question.
Warren, are you asking if you were born the way you are and your mother gave you up for adoption because...
Yeah, I'm pretty much don't think, even though I did try to move back home, my mother didn't stay in the backyard.
Your mother asked you to stay in the backyard?
Yeah, well, she let me come out, but I had to sleep out back.
I can't understand.
Hold on. You had to sleep out back?
Yeah.
When you moved back home?
Yeah.
All right, so the question here is, you know, I think what Warren's asking, and I think it's a very good question, it speaks to our humanity, you know?
Well, Phil, if you're going to start getting all Florence Nightingale on me, you know, I got people to see, and I got to see a man about a dog, you know?
Yeah, I got to see a man about a dog.
What does that mean?
Well, Phil, all day long we've been doing interviews with different radio personalities and the different shows and hosts, and we were on the Dennis Prager show. And,
okay.
And we got run through the mill by him and his, what were they?
Not a question.
And then we were...
Okay, I understand, but what I want to ask you, and I'm going to make the comment again, this man is talking about our humanity, and God knows where we would be as people if we did not have that kind of a compassionate component that allows us as parents to take care of a human being, a child that is born with a birth defect, with a mental disability, with a physical disability. This is what makes us great. This is what makes us strong.
Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Are you kidding? You know.
No, I don't disagree, but I'm wondering what your rationale is.
All right. Well, let me just give you this in an encapsulation. The most degenerate society we knew over the 20th century, the Nazis, they just put those people in gas chambers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Henry, you can be rude if you want to, but my wife asked a question.
If your wife is having to ask me to clarify why I'm saying what I'm saying, I feel really scared. You know.
Well, what are you scared about? I said, God.
Yeah, Bambi, what's the problem?
And you don't have to call me Bambi either.
Mr. Henry, this lady's an idiot. Because
wait a minute. You're calling me an idiot, and you talk like you get up every morning and put your finger in a light socket.
That's a good one.
You know what I mean? I mean, I hate to be really cruel about it.
Don't matter to me. If I talk to Phil about it, you don't understand.
Yeah, I do understand, Warren. I do understand.
Okay, Warren. Mr. Benman, sir.
And you know something? If I got up in the morning and you put my pink light socket, I'd be done with you.
What?
What did you say? I don't understand.
I can say...
No, I'm going to do it, Mr. Abbott. Do it. If I got up in the morning and I put my finger in my socket, I'm burying you.
If he got up...
No, don't make them figure it out themselves.
What? If you got up in the morning, I can't understand.
Yep, Trevor, please, for God's sake.
You know, we're burning daylight.
We're not burning any daylight. We got all the time in the world.
Well, I don't. I don't.
If I got up in the morning...
You're going to let him do it again.
If I get stood up, just tell him. You'll go to hell. Bring it down, ass.
Bill, don't you know that when you let a retard curse, that they're...
Okay, you know.
Me too.
I got to take a break is what I got to do. 877-876-7445.
Henry, it's like retard strength. You can't...
All right, I don't want that guy on the air at all.
That's Mr. Dooley.
I don't care if his name is Mr. Lincoln. All right?
Let me check.
Check what?
You got to see if his name's Lincoln.
Are you guys idiots or something? Yeah. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Find out if his name is Lincoln.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We have this sort of parallel thing happening here on Phil TV and HD. If you have a backstage pass, you've been seeing, we've been flashing the pictures of Civil War soldiers and their names. And then Neil West has been looking up the names of these guys, these soldiers, and has actually found their personal information. And everyone that we've seen so far lived to a ripe old age. And didn't die in the war. So it was
I don't know. For some reason, it just makes me feel good. And maybe these are pictures from the Library of Congress, so I'm sure these men have been thoroughly researched. Their lives have been researched. If they've been able to identify the people in the photograph, and some of them they haven't. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley on the line with us, and they're at Western Estates, California, as we discuss with them the sperm bank, this cryogenic lab that does not allow or will not give out the racial information, that is the racial identification of a sperm donor. If women ask what's the race of the sperm donor, they're referred to counseling. I don't know why it is, Bobby, the women don't just up and leave your clinic then.
Well, why would they leave?
When you say to them, oh, what did you want to know? I want to know the race of the sperm donor. Let us send you to our counselors.
Well, so we don't do it in a way that we don't mean to. We're not impugning or demeaning the intelligence of the women, Phil. This is woman-to-woman counseling. This is not, some sort of a patriarchal interrogation.
Well, you said that when they go into counseling, you ask the background, you ask the education of their parents.
Well, you do want some cultural information so that you know who and what you're dealing with. I believe in the equality of women. I believe in the intelligence of women and giving women a shot. But if I'm dealing with, Steve, if you're, let's be honest, if you're dealing with white trash, or if you're dealing with...
What is white trash in the world of a feminist?
Mr. Henry, your sarcasm is noted.
No. No, that's not sarcasm. What would you... In the world of the feminist, what do you call white trash?
Mr. Henry, I'll tell you what's white trash. World of feminists, a lot of men there, men that make them that way.
A lot of the women, Phil, have been forced into this kind of truck stop, roadhouse, methamphetamine, prostitute, white trash. You know what I'm talking about.
No, ma'am, I do not know what you're talking about, and I don't know what you think of me that I would know what you're talking about. 877-876-7445. Angela, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, please.
Hi, how you doing? Yes, I just wanted to say a few things that I don't see how at all. The police don't want to hug me like they did the last guy. Take a time and listen to you.
I beg your pardon?
All right. Don't talk over me.
Don't. Please
like
don't go, Yeah, you're going,
Yeah. Okay.
I'm acknowledging what the lady's saying. I'm not trying to do anything.
You can uh-huh after I finish talking, you can uh-huh then. Okay?
I'm sorry. It's a nervous tick that I have.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have. Okay, well, don't do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. While we're talking about this, you say, okay, you ask the race, we're going to give you counseling. You're already telling the lady that you're wrong for asking for counseling. I disagree 100%. Okay, if I come in and I want a child, I have the right to choose what race that child is, and so does any other woman out there. And then when you furthermore go to say, your husband can't be here, patriarchal, like you just said a minute ago, most definitely idiot. You're setting the woman aside, and you're forcing your views and your opinions on them. We have the right to our views and opinions. You have the right to your views and opinions. Nobody walks up and tells you what kind of race child you have. And you shouldn't walk up and tell us, hey, you're wrong if you ask what race child this is. If I want to know, and your own clinic is showing you the proof. If there are women asking for an abortion, God help me, that should tell you right there, big red sign, something is wrong with the way you're working your clinic. There is no way on earth you should sit there and allow people to have to go through that themselves and their child and take that with them the rest of their lives, that I aborted my child because you didn't give them the choice to choose.
Well, there's so much
you
wrong,
are wrong
with
for
what you
that.
Just said. There's so much wrong
racist,
with what you just said.
You're the one that's racist.
You've
thrown out a
I
lot of big words in the last few minutes. Retard, racist, white trash. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot more trash
out
there than white trash.
Oh, my God. You think retard's a big word? Wow.
No, you're the one that's out there. You don't have the right to call anybody retarded when you're out there throwing your views on other people. Okay? We're in the United States, and we have the right to our views, our opinions, and we have the right to ask questions. How dare you get on the phone and call somebody retarded? Now, how do you have to say about that?
I am a woman, and you're a woman, and I think we ought to be able to talk to each other with
exactly. I'm a woman, and I can stand
exactly.
on my own 2 feet. I own my own.
Exactly. That's right.
I own my own 2 kids and some others.
That I doubt. That
I
doubt.
I don't need a man to take care of me. I know that I have the right to do it myself.
Well, okay, I don't know. I'm hearing a woman who I'm hearing a woman who is, you are corralled into the racial think of the man. You're corralled into the daddy thing.
Oh, so now men are wrong,
you're
too,
all messed
right?
up.
It sounds like there's a whole lot of people wrong, in your opinion.
Well,
who's not?
You know what this is based on? You know what this is based on?
This
you're
is based on you forcing your opinions
say.
On someone else.
Same
thing. But I'm sorry.
Right, well, let me jump in here. Could I, Angela and Bobby, let me just jump in, if I may.
Oh, is daddy going to break us up? Is daddy going to make it better?
What? I mean, why are you such an ass?
How dare you?
Well, what is this? Is daddy going to make it better? Am I not? I am the host of the show.
Mr. Andy, why don't you let the women talk about it? You getting in there with your penis.
My penis?
Now, here's what I'm saying to the lady that's listening. She's turned her radio up. What am I going to do? We have so much we got to do with our sisters. Our sisters...
I'm not your sister. I am my own sister.
Well,
I stay on my own TV.
Well, then why'd you turn your radio up like I have to use the word.
Hey.
I can't turn my radio up. Is
no, you
my
can't.
Husband telling me that, too? I can't turn my radio up, or
don't
you telling me that? Which one? I'm confused. There's so many rules.
Ain't you never called a talk show before? You ain't supposed to have your radio turned up. There, I talked to you in your language.
Hey.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm sorry. Wait, I forgot to ask you that. Was that on your application, or did I miss it?
Well, but you know what? If I didn't tell you that, then look how messed up everything is.
You don't need to tell me anything about my radio. That's my radio. You know, I bought it, too.
Ms. Dooley, let me give the directions on radios, not you. I'm the host of the show.
Well, I'm waiting for you to take charge, Mr. Henry. You know,
well, I thought you didn't want me in the middle. Now, look at this. There goes our... Nice going. Thank you very, very much, Angela, for your call. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-7445. Mr. Dooley, thank you very much.
You don't mean that.
Yeah, you don't mean it. Why don't you go straight to the devil?
Why don't you go to the devil and have an orgy and have gay sex with the devil, but then he may get so sick of it, he'll actually have sex with a female devil, and then they'll make more devils. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry? What did he do?
Did he hang up?
Mr. Henry? Okay, my name is Bobby Dooley, and... There. Are you happy, Mr. Henry?
Phil.
Are you happy, Mr. Henry?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Bobby, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley have agreed to come back on the program tomorrow night. Well, hold on. Excuse me, folks. Mr. and Mrs. Dooley have agreed to come on the program again tomorrow night. And we had our audio muted on our video cast throughout the break. I apologize. Because we have had a little bit of a shortened program this evening. So Mr. and Mrs. Dooley will be back on tomorrow evening to... and in fact, they insisted. Is that right, Bud?
Yeah, she wanted to come on everything.
Yeah, I talked to her and I talked to her husband. And they said if they don't get to come back on, that she's going to call her lawyer.
Oh, she's going to call her lawyer. Well, then we just better have them back on, huh?
Well, aren't you going to sue us?
What's she going to sue me for? If you guys think about it, this is what I keep telling you. What is she going to sue me for? She's going to sue me for what?
That there's no free speech.
That there's no free speech. Is that right? She's going to sue me for that?
Yeah, but that if you take it away.
How am I taking away her free speech? That she can't be on this show? That's not taking away your free speech. However, I'm going to let her back on the show. She and her husband can continue their harangue. Welcome to our News and Information Hour. Bud Dickman along with Robert Leonard. It's not exactly news and information, but for this parallel thing that we've been, me and Neil and a lot of people on Phil TV and HD, it's something that I started yesterday during our off day, our day off for the July 4th holiday, and I had gotten on the Library of Congress website, and I got into their Civil War photograph collection. It sounds like I'm hacking in, you know.
Why?
Well, I'm going, I got in, and then I got into, but I mean, I went to the Civil War collection, And I found these pictures, and they're, to me, history is the greatest story that's ever been told. I mean, I can't, there's nothing in fiction that even comes close to the actual real record of what has happened on this planet up to this point. But I found these amazing pictures of Civil War soldiers, both Confederate and Union. And I've been showing them on Phil TV and HD tonight on our video cast. And so Neil West, our technical director, took it upon himself. He said, I'm going to find out who those guys are. So I've been giving him the names of these guys. And then he looks up these people to find out, did they live? Did they die? And so far, the only guy, unfortunately, the only one of these young faces. And if you look at these guys, I mean, they're kids. You know, and you see how young they are. And they're being photographed with their pistols and their swords. They're very proud to be serving, or they're just standing there with their rifles. Now, this picture here, this young guy, what'd you say, Bud?
Well, they said he's in a Signal Corps because he got a horn on his head.
Yeah,
he hasn't got a horn. He's got a bugle on his hat.
Yeah, well, it's like some kind of horn.
Right. So I think Neil said that could be Signal Corps. Did you find out, Neil, whether this kid, what happened to him, Harrison Corbin? No. All right. Well, of all the guys that we looked at, and wouldn't it be the case, and the sad reality of the war, of all of the soldiers whose pictures we looked at, four of the five were Union soldiers, and each one of them survived the war into old age. In fact, two of the guys lived to the year 1914 or 1915. I think one of them, the guy from Maine.
Yeah, he was 120.
No, he wasn't 120.
No, man, I figured out that was wrong.
No, it wasn't. It said he died in 1965.
That's bull crap. That's the one site said that.
That said it on Find a Grave. Ain't you never been on Find a Grave?
Yeah, whoa, wow, look at you, man.
What, you think Find a Grave is where it's at?
Yeah, Find a Grave's all that.
Get up. Find a Grave is all that. Find a Grave, man, somebody made a mistake with that one, because they had this one guy, he was born in 1842, died in 1965.
Yeah.
Yeah? That would make the guy, whatever the hell, man, 130 or something? Are you nuts? So, or 128, whatever? No way did he live. They blew that.
But when he died?
Well, according to the record that I saw, he died in 1865. So the guy, even though he looked, if you look at the guy's face, he looked like he's in his 30s. But, you know, hey, he'd been through a war, so what are you going to say? But this poor man, according to the thing that I saw, died in the last 2 months of the war. He was with the Maine Cavalry, and I forget his name. Oh, Grapham. Joshua Grapham.
Yeah, wait, is that Jewish?
I don't know, bud. Why do you ask a question like that?
They didn't let no, they put him in a concentration camp.
Who did?
Oh, that the wrong war?
Yeah, that's the wrong war. Oh, my God. You know why you're saying that? Is because we found some pictures. I know why you're saying that now.
Yeah, you had that picture of that guy from Auschwitz.
That wasn't a guy from Auschwitz. That was a Union prisoner. Because they've got pictures there. I don't even want to go into it. But there were pictures of Union prisoners, and they didn't look good, man. They, anyway. So four of them were Union guys. They lived to a ripe old age. The one picture of a Confederate soldier that we found, a young guy by the name of Joshua Trumbull, good-looking kid from the North Carolina Cavalry, or the North Carolina Infantry, and he died 1 year into his service. He had enlisted in April of 1861, which was right after Fort Sumter. He was from North Carolina, and he died in June of 1862 at a place called Fraser's Farm.
What happened there?
I guess a battle happened there. Why do you ask what happened there?
Well, I mean, that doesn't sound like a battle. It's just a farm.
Yeah, I don't know.
What, do you think he got run over by a tractor or something?
I don't know. He got kicked by a cow.
It was a battle, you idiot. What happened there?
Most battles are called a battle, not called a farm.
Well, they had a battle on a farm, Jack. Where the hell do you think they were having this war? They were having a war in America. America, where we live right here, you know?
Yeah.
Farms and pastures and stuff.
Then they had farms in Europe, man. And say, no, I know one battle in Europe been about a farm.
Yeah, except for D-Day.
D-Day? What farm was that fought on?
Well, they bought it.
I'm going to kick your ass.
I didn't mean it. It's a joke. It was a joke.
Like a joke like that? They bought it.
I was just joking.
It ain't funny. What farm? They bought it.
What'd he say?
You heard me. That's not funny, bud.
I thought it was.
Well, it ain't. And I'll tell you something else, too. You're never going to have a career in stand-up comedy, man, with all that cornball. And another thing, you're always looking for the opportunity to tell a joke, and it always falls flat because you always, always, your timing sucks. And don't ask me what I mean by timing.
I know what that is.
No, it ain't got nothing to do with your motorcycle. Nothing to do with spark plugs. All right, anyway, welcome back here to the program. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, sure. So that was kind of an interesting thing there, but it all started yesterday. Oh, yeah, there was the one guy. What were you saying, bud?
Well, the one guy had crossed eyes.
Yeah, there was one kid that I shouldn't bring this up, but I mean, he survived the war, and his name was George Kimbrew, and he lived, he was from Indiana, and he was with the 93rd Indiana Infantry. Now, this kid, somebody let him in the 93rd Infantry, and that's great. And he had a picture taken of himself with a saber in the one hand, and he's got this pistol in the other hand, and he's looking like a real badass. There's only one problem. This guy's got crossed eyes.
Man, you're right.
Yeah, look at him. He's got those eyeballs that go in.
Cross-eyed Mary and everything.
Right. So we're sitting here thinking, well, I know he didn't shoot anybody with eyes like that. How the hell did he even get through the, you know?
Maybe they threw him out or something.
Yeah, he probably got fired.
Probably got fired. They don't fire you, man. Why would they hire him in the first place? So anyway, George Kimbrew lived to be a ripe old age. The guy died in 1917, something like that, or 1907, I forget which, but he definitely had some crossed eyeballs there, man. Wow. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Now, coming up tomorrow will be another free Phil Hendry podcast. It is episode number 14 of the free Phil Hendry podcast. And just hit the link there on our homepage, philhendryshow.com. It'll take you right to that podcast. Also, beginning tomorrow, all of you guys that have a mobile phone, that use your mobile for accessing all kinds of things, beginning tomorrow, use your mobile phone to access the free Phil Hendry podcast. You can do that. Just hit the link. It'll take you directly to the file page or to a place where you can subscribe to it. That's starting tomorrow using either your iPhone or any kind of an Android phone. And also, just a reminder that the Best of Ted Bell is now posted in our shop. And that is a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah, all the best of the Ted Bell CD cuts. And they also got a free cut there, too.
That's right. Thank you, Robert. There is a free nacho cheese and grape drink is one free download with the Best of Ted Bell download. So head on over to our shop there at philhendryshow.com and pick up the very first ever best of one of our guests, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. In fact, we're going to have Ted on in a moment here to talk a little bit more about that and other falderall here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. That guy was in prison. We found another picture of a guy. That guy is a guy from South Carolina named Captain George F. Frescott, and he was in prison in Boston, Massachusetts.
What for?
Well, it was the Civil War, so I don't know. He might have been a member of the Confederate Navy.
It looked like maybe a pirate or something.
No, he wasn't no pirate, man.
Looked like it.
Well, he might have looked like one, but cats back then, they all looked like pirates. I mean, everybody had a beard, and guys back then, they didn't have like now. You see guys in the military, and they got a uniform, and you pretty much know that guy's in the military, that guy ain't, you know. But back then, you put on a funny-looking hat, and now you're a member of the something or other. All right, welcome back to our program here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. In other historical news, this actually is news that broke today. And a bizarre historical note, it was from the Daily Mail Online, that there was a Jewish comrade of Adolf Hitler's in World War I who was protected by Hitler during a certain period of time, shall we say, even though it was known he was Jewish. And the reason he was protected by Hitler was because he had been a comrade. He was a commander of Hitler's in World War I. And Hitler intervened personally to save this man's life. Now, this is not to say that Adolf Hitler was just the greatest thing in the history of the world, because eventually this man did go to a concentration camp. But he was, his name was Ernst Hess. He commanded Hitler's unit during the First World War. He was baptized a Protestant, which is what a lot of Jews did to try to save themselves from what eventually became the Holocaust. They got baptized as Christians, and they found out only too late that it didn't matter to the Nazis. The Nazis were exterminating Jews regardless of whether they had become Christians. It was a racial thing. It was a blood thing with Nazis. He had a Jewish mother, so he was a full-blooded Jew by Nazi race laws. Although finally thrown into a concentration camp in 1941, he survived the war to become president of the German Federal Railways Authority. Ernst Hess, in the body of the story, he owes his survival to the personal intervention of Adolf Hitler. The Führer ordered his SS thugs to leave the Jewish judge alone because Hess had been his commanding officer during the First World War. Hitler looked back on this time on the Western Front with great pride and fondness. So while some 6 million Jews perished in the Holocaust set in motion by Hitler, Hess was allowed to live on the Führer's whim. His remarkable story was told by his daughter Ursula after a newspaper unearthed the letter sent on the orders of Hitler insisting that Hess was not to be persecuted or deported. And they even print the letter here.
Yeah, there are going to be some people now going to say that Hitler was a good guy because of that.
Well, no, no, no. Anybody that tries to say Hitler was a good guy based on that has got a lot of work to do on their brain, number one, and then what they know about this whole period of time. Because there were, you know, there were Jews in the German military, in the German military when Hitler was the Führer, you know.
What are you talking about?
I mean, there were Jewish guys. There were guys that clearly had Jewish blood that Hitler and Goering left alone because they were great military guys. One of them was a guy by the name of Milch. You know this name? No, you idiots don't know it.
No, is that a Jewish name?
What's his name? Milk? Like Harvey Milk?
Milch. Although maybe it became Milk in America. It was M-I-L-C-H. This guy was probably the most brilliant general in the Luftwaffe in World War II. He was part Jewish. Goering knew it. Hitler knew it, and they didn't give a damn because the guy was fantastic and had built. He was the guy that built the Luftwaffe. Goering didn't do anything, that fat ass. He took it over. But Milch built the Luftwaffe. He was Jewish, or part Jewish. Now,
what part?
He was like a quarter. Quarter Jewish.
That ain't nothing. Is they going to put a guy in a
concentration camp, you idiot.
Hey,
come on, you jackasses. Concentration camp, okay? Yeah, there were, you know, they put guys in concentration camps all the time that were Jewish, that were part Jewish, that even had connections. But these guys, the military guys that were really valuable, no way. In fact, the SS wanted to put this guy Milch, they wanted to have him investigated and eventually probably stick him in a concentration camp. And Goering said, no, I don't want that guy. We need that guy.
Well, what's that mean, man?
Well, they had it. Look, the Nazis were a bunch of scum, and they did anything they wanted to do. And they had a process that if a person was valuable enough, and in fact, this was what they did with Milch. If a guy was valuable enough, they went out of their way to Aryanize. And so here's what they said to Milch. They said, now, we happen to know that you're something about how your father was illegitimate or something like that. I forget. Isn't it possible that your mother had relations with an Aryan uncle as opposed to this Jewish guy that raised you? And Milch went, sure, if it makes me an Aryan, I'll, you know, sign it. So they said, why don't you have your mother sign this letter that basically says that your uncle was actually your father, even though it was incest, and that was against Nazi laws, too, but, you know.
Yeah, whatever works.
Yeah, whatever works. So that's what they did, and they Aryanized the guy.
But it was all phony.
Yeah, it was basically phony. But they needed him. He was a great general. They needed him in the Luftwaffe. Like I said, he's the guy that built him. So the Nazis, they, you know,
Look, at man, there wasn't one honest thing. Not only were they slobs and thugs and murderers, they were dishonest as the day is long. They were liars. I mean, these guys did anything, said anything, and would do anything to further whatever bullcrap they wanted to further. So anyway, getting back to this one thing, and I got really sidetracked, I apologize. This guy's name is Hess. This was Hitler's commander in World War I. He was Jewish. Hitler interceded on his behalf. And we know this because there was a letter from Hitler insisting that Hess not be persecuted or deported. It was unearthed by this newspaper, a file kept by the Dusseldorf Gestapo.
That a real place?
What?
Dusseldorf.
Yeah, why?
I thought it was a joke city.
A joke city? Why do you think that?
It sounds kind of silly.
Dusseldorf is a real place, okay? A joke city. Anyway, Dusseldorf Gestapo kept a file on him. It includes the letter from the head of the Gestapo and the SS, Heinrich Himmler, dated the 27th of August, 1940, saying Hess must receive relief and protection as per the Führer's wishes. Himmler made a point of informing all relevant authorities and officials that the judge was not to be inopportune in any way whatsoever. Ironically, Hess told his daughter that he and his old comrades from the trenches hardly remembered Hitler at all, by then a well-known figure in German politics, when they met at reunions in the 1920s and 30s. He told her that the future dictator rarely spoke and had few friends among the troops. Historians have in recent years poured scorn on the Nazi myth of the heroic Corporal Hitler running messages from one frontline trench to another. In fact, other soldiers regarded him as a rear area pig taking his messages between headquarters a few miles behind the front. Hess was born in 1890. He joined the 2nd Royal Bavarian Reserve, blah, blah, blah. Both men were deployed to Flanders, blah, 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 blah. Now, he did eventually go to a concentration camp in 1941, and he survived. And we can get into the rest of this, but he was forced by the laws to quit his post as a judge. His family saw him beaten up outside his house by Nazi thugs the same year. He petitioned Hitler in 1936 for an exception to be made for him and his daughter under the race laws. In his letter, Hess said, "For us is a kind of a spiritual death to now be branded as Jews." He ended up a slave laborer building barracks. He escaped extermination because of his privileged, miscegenated marriage.
What's that mean?
Misogyny. Well, I don't know what. Miscegenate. Basically, it was a marriage between two opposite racial types. He was married to an Aryan. All right. That's the end of that. This stuff is sick, man.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Hitler saved that one guy's life.
He didn't save anybody. By the 1941, they threw his ass in a concentration camp anyway, where he could very well have gotten killed. So, you know.
Yeah, but he married, like, the right lady.
Look, don't get any bright ideas about what a great guy you think Hitler is.
I don't think he's a great guy. I thought maybe he'd done one good thing.
He ain't done nothing good. All right, we'll be right back to world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Woo!
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget tomorrow, it's episode number 14 of the free Phil Hendry podcast. It's going to be available there through our podcast link at philhendryshow.com. Now, here's the latest bit of garbage.
You got to at least think it's true.
Oh, get out of here, will you, bud, before I smack you around. So, Nicolas Cage, did you hear this? And the only reason why we're bringing this up is because we were talking about the Civil War. This is actually a story that goes all the way back to September of 2011. Some jive ass was digging through a trunk of old photographs, and he found a picture of a guy from Tennessee in 1870 who looks just like Nicolas Cage. So the guy started a rumor. He's an antiques dealer, so that's where he got the photograph.
So the guy started a rumor that Nicolas Cage was a vampire, and he posted the photograph on sale for sale on eBay. And he says, oh, I think Nicolas Cage is a vampire and that he's some kind of a Walking Dead guy, you know.
Yeah, but see, that guy believes it.
No, he doesn't believe it, bud.
Why'd you say that?
He doesn't, but he's trying to sell the picture. And he's counting on guys like Bud and you to buy it.
You mean he's full of it?
Well, what do you think, man? And I'll tell you one other reason. As it was pointed out, vampires can't be photographed.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. I bet you that makes you feel a whole lot better, huh?
Well.
Yeah, yeah. So, at least that's what some people think. Maybe they can be photographed. Maybe, you know. What do you think about that, bud?
Shut up.
I mean, you gotta get your head on straight, man. So anyway, this guy, who's an antiques dealer, who wanted to make himself some money on some photograph that he found, looked like, I think it was pretty funny, actually. And I got to hand it to the guy. He posted, and I guess he posted this on eBay. He said, personally, I believe it's him and that he is some sort of a walking undead vampire who quickens or reinvents himself once every 75 years. The post was removed. 150 years from now, he might be a politician, the leader of a cult, or a talk show host, if there are still talk show hosts. Anyway, Mord claims that the supposedly 47-year-old actor looks virtually unchanged since his first big hit, Moonstruck. So, you get the idea. And I don't know whether this guy has actually sold the photograph. I will tell you that the vampire aficionados came out with the news that he was offered $1 million for the photo, but it has since been removed. I don't know where he gets that.
That's proof, man, of people probably want to buy it.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm just not buying it. He was offered $1 million, but it has since been removed. The seller's so confident the person in the photo is Cage that he said any serious potential buyer will be allowed to have a photo expert of their choice examine the original photograph before any money changes hands. Well, that just will prove that it's a photograph from 1870.
Yeah, but won't that prove it's Nicolas Cage?
How's it going to prove it's Nicolas Cage? It's a photograph of a guy. Okay.
Yeah, it's just a guy, ma'am. You don't know it's Nicolas Cage.
You don't know it's Nicolas Cage. It's a picture of a guy from 1870. Does it look like him? Sure. But the fact, all I'm trying to say is I got to hand it to this guy for his chutzpah. He, you know, said it's Nicolas Cage. Who's going to say it ain't? Nicolas Cage? Nicolas Cage, who's going to believe him? He's a vampire.
That's my point.
Oh, so anyway, the cat was, he claims, offered $1 million, but the photograph has since been removed. I don't personally think he was offered $1 million. If he was, then he's obviously taken $1 million, but he may be saying that he was offered $1 million to keep the price up there, you know.
Yeah, they probably all faded out.
I think probably interest went belly up after the sort of the novelty of it wore off, you know, because it doesn't look like he, nobody really believes in vampires. So you really got to do some kind of $1 million. I bet you money that the guy would probably, he'd probably make a little bit of money. But the more you look at the picture, the less it looks like Nicolas Cage. So, all right, Alec Baldwin's possible run for New York City mayor is very real, according to his brother, Billy. Billy, who's been hospitalized with hallucinations, said the other day, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is it real?
No, it's not real. Anyway, newlywed actor Alec Baldwin has often talked about his political ass operations, and someone close to him says there's still a very real possibility that he'll run for mayor of New York City. Just days after attending his older brother's wedding to a 28-year-old yoga instructor, Hilaria Thomas, William, quote, Billy, end of quote, Baldwin, told Piers Morgan on CNN, who believes anything, that Alec would still go into politics.
Ha ha, he believes anything.
Well,
you think he's lying?
I don't know. You can tell Piers Morgan anything. Anyway, I think on one level it's very real. I think he's very committed and extremely bright and knowledgeable, and I think he could do it, and he could run, the former Backdraft star said, according to Politico. On the other hand, I'm not quite sure if he's cut from the proper cloth, because it requires a lot of tolerance and a lot of patience and a slim fit, and you've got to like Jewish people, and...
Did you say that?
No, he didn't say it. Morgan cut him off.
pointing out that Alec Baldwin has a long history of temperamental issues and a reputation for being a bit hot-headed. Baldwin's still under investigation for reportedly shoving a photographer in New York last month. He's been kicked off a plane for refusing to turn off his phone and infamously calling his then 11-year-old daughter, Ireland, a rude, thoughtless little pig.
What about that little piggy?
Yeah, don't tell that. Why not that?
Little piggy?
Yeah, this little piggy go to market.
That's a toe, man. You ain't calling the whole kid a pig. What are you guys, stupid or something?
Yeah, but still, man.
Oh, get out of here. You're talking about this little piggy's a kid's toe. In any event, Billy Baldwin went on to say, "Let me remind you, Pierce, that John McCain and Rudy Giuliani are quite the same, and they are very successful and highly..." What? What does that mean? "Let me remind you that John McCain and Rudy Giuliani are quite the same," meaning that they've called their daughters pigs? "And they're very successful and highly effective politicians," Billy said, defending his brother. Alec, 54, still admits he has trouble controlling his anger. In the latest issue of Vanity Fair, he described how he wanted to kill his ex-wife Kim Basinger's divorce lawyer with a baseball bat and fantasized about murdering TMZ's Harvey Levin for leaking the scandalous voicemail to their daughter 5 years ago. That's not really unusual, you know.
It's not?
Have you ever fantasized about kill a guy?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
That's it. Well, and you think you're going to run for mayor or something?
No, I don't think I'm going to run for mayor. What the hell's wrong with you guys?
Well, if you say that you have, though.
Yes, I fantasized about killing people, sure. Haven't you?
No, but then I'm not running for mayor.
I ain't running for mayor either. Where are you guys getting this thing I'm running for mayor?
Well, not anymore, you ain't.
Hey, let me tell you something. You know, if you get angry enough, what did I say after the Mel Gibson thing? I told you, after the Mel Gibson thing, why do they have that? Get that vampire shot off of there. After the Mel Gibson thing, I said Mel Gibson's way out of line. I said displays of anger like that are unacceptable. I said that it's destructive, it's self-destructive, and it's destructive to your relationships. That kind of rage doesn't get you anywhere in life other than people hate your guts and want nothing more to do with you. And then I said, I understand that kind of rage.
Yeah, so what's that mean if you say it don't get you nowhere?
When I say that I understand that kind of rage, that is not the same thing as saying I endorse it. I'm simply saying I understand it. I understand it. Mel Gibson's probably got the same issues I've got. He's got these rage issues. Okay? And there are ways of dealing with that. One of the things you got to do is you got to be a hell of a lot more philosophical about life. You've got to understand that because one thing happens or another thing happens, it does not in total mean your whole life is going to hell in a handcart. Okay? I understand that kind of rage. You got to control it. Now, when you say, have I ever fantasized about killing people? Sure I have. Sure I have.
Yeah, well, if a cop hears that and then the person dies, then what will that do?
What did you say, man?
Yeah, what did you say?
I said if a cop hears about that you fantasize about killing a guy, what will that do?
If a cop hears about me fantasizing about killing a guy...
Yeah, and that guy died.
I guess the cop's going to wonder, hey, I wonder if Phil Hendry killed him. Jeez.
Won't that be bad?
No, man. What's going to... Look, the last thing a murderer of someone, a real murderer of someone, is going to sit down and say to a cop, yeah, I had fantasies about killing the guy. You know, I mean, maybe, but I mean, if I'm going in there, I'm going to tell a cop the truth. I'm going to say, I didn't kill him. Well, didn't you have fantasies about killing him? Yeah, I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah, they're going to arrest you and everything.
No, they ain't, man. No cop is going to, I mean, you know, I don't think any cop is going to want to, you know, throw the book at me because I had a fantasy about killing somebody. But the fact of the matter is I have. Have I ever acted on it is the next question you should have asked me.
No, I don't want to ask that.
No, you wouldn't want to ask that because that would just spoil the fun, wouldn't it?
Well.
No, I haven't acted on it. Never would I ever. Because I know the difference. I know the difference between just straight anger and fantasy and actually acting on something like that. So anyway, but here's Alec Baldwin. And I got to tell you, I sort of vicariously... enjoy that, where he said he fantasized about killing Harvey Levin for leaking the voicemail to their daughter 5 years ago.
Don, you think that's funny?
Yes, I do. and that he wanted to kill his ex-wife's divorce. Anyway, the guy's a hothead, man. But maybe his new wife is mellowing him, according to Billy. You have to let that go, Baldwin told the magazine, saying he now occasionally has cordial conversations with Basinger about their now 16-year-old daughter. Enough time, I mean, it does heal wounds. The 30 Rock star did say on his radio show.
Yeah, he's got a radio show.
What radio show?
I don't know, man.
Don't tell me, hey, Karmazin, is this another guy you gave a radio show to? Somebody call up Mel over there. It's, you know, Sirius XM. Is this another guy that's working for free over there?
Are you kidding me? Derek, Alec Baldwin charge $1 million a year.
Not if he's working for Mel Karmazin, he ain't. It's another movie star that you got working over there at Sirius XM, huh, Mel? That you're paying, what, 5 cents an hour to? Just as a way to promote the show? Good God.
You know, you ought to quit talking that way, man. That guy is never going to hire you.
Who, Mel Karmazin?
Yeah.
Of course he's never going to hire me. Because he's paying $5 an hour. How the hell can I work for that?
Yeah, but you get to be on Sirius.
So what? You know what kills me? These people that say, hey, Phil, wouldn't you like to work on Sirius XM? Not if they're paying $5 an hour. No, I don't.
Yeah, you shouldn't say that, man, because they got a rep.
I don't get... Oh, they've got a rep. Oh, well.
Yeah, you're going to make Mr. Karmazin look bad.
Oh, I'm going to make him look bad. Well, I wouldn't want to do that. I want to keep the illusion going that if you work at Sirius XM, you're making $85 billion an hour, and you're a real star, and you're being driven to work every day in a limousine. Not. No way, man. I'm just wondering, you know, I shouldn't say, because I don't know where the hell Alec Baldwin's doing his radio show. Anyway, he said on his, quote, radio show that he was no longer interested in running for New York City's mayor after the American Airlines incident in December, but did tell Vanity Fair he still thinks about it.
Maybe he fantasized about it.
Yeah, maybe he's fantasizing about that and his baseball bet. I think I do want to go into politics. I really do, Baldwin said, and I don't know if I will. If I want to run for what? You have to run and ask a lot of whys. Run for the glory? Run to complete some missing piece of myself? I can keep doing what I'm doing for a living now and be perfectly happy. The actor also returned to Twitter with a new username, ABF Alec Baldwin, for his art-supporting Alec Baldwin Foundation. Oh, after quitting the social media site on Monday. 4th of July, he tweeted on Wednesday's Independence Day, our forefathers fought for our right to nap on the beach. Alec Baldwin. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing more to say. I'm all done.
Yeah, man, Alec Baldwin just said everything for you.
Yep, Alec Baldwin has said it all. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Oh, who do we have? Well, I know we've got somebody coming up in this next quarter hour. Forget who. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, reminding you, if you don't have a backstage pass, get one at philhenryshow.com, and that's just that is your magic ticket to thousands of hours of archived great radio, as well as our nightly video cast, as well as our video archive, as well as a year of our Saturday night show, both audio and video. And everything else, as well as access to our comment section. You know, the only people that are allowed to comment in our news feed are our backstage pass holders. And I'm over there and giving people a hard time, and they give me a hard time. It's a lot of fun. So join us at philhenryshow.com at a backstage pass. Now, what were you saying, Robert?
I didn't know you liked Spike Lee.
Yeah, you like Do the Right Thing and everything?
The reason why I brought up Spike Lee to you guys is because I saw him today on TCM. He was on with Robert Osborne because Neil was saying that Alec Baldwin has a radio show in New York, not on Sirius, on some other channel, and that he's had Robert Osborne as a guest because I guess he was on Robert Osborne with that TCM thing. So anyway, today I'm watching, and I saw Spike Lee on there. And
yeah, but that's an old people channel.
It's an old people channel, you're right, but Spike Lee is a damn good filmmaker and appreciates a lot of those great movies. And he was talking about They said to him, him and Robert Osborne was on there, and he said, now, this was one of these features.
Yeah, they pick out their favorite movie, like they had Drew Barrymore do it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's like a guest programmer.
Yeah.
So Spike Lee was on as the guest programmer, and he had picked out a movie, and it was a Billy Wilder movie called Ace in the Hole. Now, Billy Wilder, you guys know who he is?
Uh-oh. I never heard of him.
Yeah, okay. Well, Billy Wilder is considered to be one of the great filmmakers in the history of Hollywood. He made a movie called Some Like It Hot. He made a movie called The Apartment. He's made some great movies. He made a lot of comedies, but Ace in the Hole was not a comedy. Ace in the Hole was a drama about media exploitation. It was the movie that Spike Lee had seen in film school. He got an autographed a poster from the movie, autographed by Billy Wilder and Kirk Douglas, and it's just one of his favorite movies. And as it turns out, listening to Spike Lee today, Billy Wilder was one of his favorite filmmakers.
Yeah, but do you like Spike Lee?
Well, I was going to say, you guys know I like Spike Lee. How many times have I watched Do the Right Thing?
Yeah, well, yeah, you've watched that a lot, that's for sure.
How many times have I watched Clockers? How many times have I watched Malcolm X?
Did you ever see, like, The Girl's Gotta Have It?
No, I never watched that one, but, I mean, I watched the movies that I liked, and I think he's a hell of a movie maker, man. I love his movies, okay? Why did you guys think I don't like his movies?
Because he's black.
What is it with you, man? What do you mean, because he's black?
Well, no, I mean, I thought maybe you didn't like black filmmakers.
What are you talking about? Geez, you know what? The problem with you, Robert, is the older I get, the whiter I get.
Yeah, something like that.
All right. Anyway,
yeah, you are bleaching out more and more. Yeah, well, you bleach out, man. You ain't even anywhere near as old as him.
All right, easy, okay? Bleach out. No, I like Spike Lee's movies are tremendous. Clockers is one of my all-time favorite movies. Do the Right Thing is one of my all-time favorite. Somebody over on Facebook said, Phil, would you put a list of your favorite movies? And I didn't complete it, but that Clockers is on there. Do the Right Thing is on there. And I saw his movie Get on the Bus. I love that movie.
Yeah, nobody went and saw that, though.
Nobody went and saw it because it's a movie really about the Million Man March, and it was about a bunch of black guys who got on a bus and went to Washington to be a part of the Million Man March. And the movie was called Get on the Bus. And it had every kind of liberal. It had every kind of black liberal. And it also had every kind of sort of prejudice. I mean, it was really a very well-done movie. I love the movie. It had like...
What do you mean prejudice?
Like, for instance, it had all these black guys on a bus, and they're going to the Million Man March. But two of the guys are gay. So right there, Spike Lee was very openly challenging and commenting on... a propensity among black males to have discomfort and maybe even more than their share of prejudice when it comes to homosexual men, especially gay black men. So he confronted that with these two characters, one of them played, by the way, by Isaiah Washington. He had the black conservative. This was a guy who was sitting there and going on and on about how he started his own business and he doesn't need all this black bull crap because he's, you know, and if you guys just get up off your ass and this and that. And that guy lasted about three blocks and they threw his ass off the bus, which is a very clear commentary there by Spike about what he thinks of those kinds of guys. They had the bus driver who was played by, I believe it was David Belcher. Or Richard Belcher, excuse me. I was thinking of David Brenner. Richard Belcher, who was Jewish. And the reason why I say Jewish is, first of all, he pointed that up in the film, and there was a problem that they had with him, as if to say, you know, is this your good deed? You know, and how do you really feel about black people? So I recommend the movie for anybody that, well, actually, no. Unless you're weird like me, you probably won't like it.
Or black.
Or black. All right, the Phil Henry Show is produced by Neil West and Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. And don't forget to go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and get a backstage pass, which entitles you to the keys to the kingdom, baby. The keys to the kingdom when it comes to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And somebody tell Charles we will be on the air tonight at 10. Neil, I'm kidding.
Phil See ya. Henry.